Peter quoted Paul, making Paul inspired by proxy. In 2 Peter 3, verse 15, Peter says, "Consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you." Later we read in verse 16, "Which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." Peter called Paul's letters scriptures, making Paul an inspired person, because Peter, the inspired, miracle-making apostle of Jesus Christ, quoted him. Of course, Paul did not need an approval from Peter, but what about Luke? We don't have any record that Luke did any miracle or made any prophecy. And yet we have two very important books in the New Testament written by Luke, including the one that tells us what to do to be saved. Well, we have to know, why do we believe that Luke is inspired? Listen to what the inspired apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:18. 1 Timothy 5:18, Paul says, "The scripture says," and he says, "the laborer is worthy of his wages." What did Paul just quote? The Gospel of Luke. Making Luke inspired by proxy. Not directly, but he was quoted by an inspired apostle. That's why we know that Luke was inspired. He was quoted by another inspired person. The third point is kind of tricky, because the Bible tells us, do not expect the men and women of God to be the only miracle-making persons. In fact, Jesus Christ warned us in Matthew 24:22, saying that false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Granted, those other signs are not as powerful as the signs of the man of God. Example, the staff of Moses. Moses turned his staff into a serpent. The magicians of Egypt also did the same thing. But Moses' miracle literally ate the miracles of the magicians of Egypt. Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8, he did miracles. He was called the power of God. But when he saw the apostles making miracles, he went to them and he said, "How much money do you want for me to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit from you?" Because their miracles were stronger than his. And that's why you have to be sure that anyone who brings any message to you brings a message that is in harmony with the rest of the revelations. It has to be consistent with the rest of the revelations and not different. The Bible tells us a story that makes this point. And that story is in 1 Kings 13. In 1 Kings 13, we read the story of the prophet that was sent by God from the southern kingdom of Judah to the northern kingdom of Israel. Israel has just divided into the north, led by Jeroboam, who was a bad king, and the south, led by Rehoboam, who was a relatively good king. The northern king introduced idolatry. He introduced a new priesthood system. He told his people, "You do not really need to go to the south to worship in Jerusalem and the temple. We can make another place of worship here." And God told the southern prophet to go to the north and preach to the king and tell him that he was wrong, and that God will judge him and will destroy the priesthood system that he created centuries later by a king that the prophet tells him the king's name, Josiah by name, 3 centuries before Josiah was born. God tells that prophet, "You go and talk with the king, and you come back using another way. Do not stay there. Do not spend the night. Do not eat or drink. Do not go sightseeing. You go preach to the king, and then you come back. The man goes and preaches to the king, and on his way back, he meets another prophet. The Bible calls him a prophet, a local prophet, a northern prophet, who asks him, where are you going? He said, well, I'm going back home. He said, why don't you spend the night with me and eat and drink with me? He said, no, thank you. God told me not to eat or drink here, not to spend the night. He told me to preach and to go back home. He said, oh, I'm a prophet too. It's okay. God told me that it's okay. You can stay with me. And he made the mistake that we make every day. He suspected what God told him based on what somebody else told him. The Bible calls the northern man a prophet, but his message was not in harmony with the other message that that prophet received from God. God told him, do not stay there, do not eat or drink. That man stayed there and ate and drank, and he was killed by God immediately as a punishment for his deed. The Quran fails all these three points. First, not only does the Quran not record any prophecy that was done by Muhammad, Muhammad specifically said that he was not a prophet. He could not prophesy. He could not foretell the future. He said that in chapter 7 and verse 188 of the Quran. Muhammad said, if I had the knowledge of the unseen, I would have accumulated a lot of good things. Basically, Muhammad says, if I could prophesy, I could have gone to Wall Street. Second, not only does the Quran not record any miracle that was done by Muhammad, you have brought a very good point yesterday when he said, well, Muslims talk about miracles that Muhammad did in the traditions. Yes, that's right. Muslims would tell you about tons of miracles that Muhammad supposedly did. But do you remember the three simple rules of interpreting the Quran? If a tradition contradicts the hadith, you follow the hadith and not the tradition. If a hadith contradicts a Quran passage, you follow the Quran passage and not the hadith. If a Quran passage contradicts another Quran passage, you follow the Quran passage that came in a chronologically later time to be the truth about Islam and not the first one. So the tradition says that Muhammad did miracles. Look at what Muhammad said himself in the Quran in chapter 17, starting with verse 90. They said, we shall never believe in you unless you cause a spring to gush forth for us from the earth, or you have a garden of date palms and grapes, and they gave him a whole list of miracles. We will not believe in you unless you do a miracle, one of these miracles. Muhammad said, or is told to say, I proclaim the purity of my Lord. I am nothing but human, a messenger. Okay, we have learned now that Muhammad was not inspired by God. He did not have any message from God. Why didn't the Quran record any miracle that Muhammad did? Traditions say that Muhammad did miracles. Well, Muhammad claimed to be a prophet. He was not a prophet. He might as well said that he was a miracle maker in the Quran. Why did he not say that? Thank you, sir. Because the Quran has to stay true to the local and contemporary context. If the Quran claims that Muhammad did any miracle, somebody would have said, oh, wait a minute, I was there. He did not do that. That's why we have the Quran today as a scripture. That's why the Quran survived to us. Because it had to stay true, not in the religious part, not in the God and heaven and hell part, the salvation, spiritual, religious part, but in the historical, local, and contemporary context. When Muhammad did not do any miracle, the Quran did not record any miracle. Otherwise, the Quran would not have survived if the Quran claimed that he did that. By the way, Muhammad actually claims to have done, to be fair, one miracle. And that miracle is known and recorded in the Quran as the night journey. Muhammad claimed that at night, while he was sleeping, he was taken from his bed in his house in Mecca, in Arabia, to the temple of Jerusalem, and then to heaven, and then back to his bed. And then he woke up and said, hey, I did a miracle last night. You did not see it because you were sleeping. Well, this is not how God works, because the miracle has to be public and not a night journey. And that thing is recorded, and that's the only miracle That is recorded in the Quran, recorded in chapter 17, verse 1. Third, even though the Quran claims to confirm the other inspired revelations, that is the Bible, the Quran actually does not do that. The Quran says in verse, or in chapter 12 and verse 111, that it is not an invented story, but rather a confirmation of what has been before it. The Quran says, trust me, I am from God, and here is my proof. I confirm the Bible. And then you look at the Bible and the Quran, and you say, no, you don't. What does that make of the Quran's claim? It's invented, or it's not inspired. Muhammad was not inspired to produce the Quran. What are the resources of the Quran? Anyone who can recognize patterns and read literature and recognize plagiarism, for example, can tell the sources of the Quran accounts. The Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament is definitely one major source of the Quran. And by the way, Muhammad was illiterate. He did not look at the Bible and write the Quran. He thought that this is what the Bible said from what he heard from somebody, through somebody, who did not really know his Bible. The Jewish Talmud is actually considered inspired in the Quran. 2 years ago, I visited the Holocaust Museum in Detroit, the Holocaust Memorial Center in Farmington Hills, Michigan. And when I entered, I saw a sign that was written that has a verse from the Quran. And the verse says, whoever murders a soul is guilty of murdering all mankind, and whoever saves a human being is as if he saved all mankind. A Quran verse in a Jewish Holocaust museum? I approached the sign and I read the quotation, and it turned out to be from the Jewish Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, Sanhedrin 37a. The Quran literally said, we have ordained on the children of Israel that whoever murders a soul is guilty of murdering all mankind, and whoever saves a soul is as if he saved all mankind. The Quran says that the Jewish Talmud is inspired.